This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight.
Show on the Fan. It's a Wednesday. It's a hump day. We're on our way through. And one more for the Milwaukee Bucks before the NBA All-Star break. One more for Pat Connaughton before maybe a guest in the dunk contest. Maybe get into that a little bit later on here on the Wendy's Big Show. Pitchers and catchers reporting to American Family Fields of Phoenix. We'll talk to Jerry Augustine, former Brewer pitcher, now Fox Sports Wisconsin analyst, coming up at 4:35. Myles Garrett back, maybe too soon, and Ross Tucker stops by at 2:48 with us here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, 12:50 AM, and the free radio.com app. Gary Ellerson is here. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer is here. I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch. You can be here at 414-799-1250. You can also tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. He's at Gary Ellerson at Sparky Radio. I'm at Bill Schmidt Radio. All the pleasantries are done. Kendrick Perkins yesterday on the Wendy's Big Show. He was awesome to hear from a guy that's won an NBA championship, played around against and with some of the best players of all time, one that helped mentor Giannis and Kevin Garnett, and then also stopped by to drop some wisdom on somebody that takes quite a bit of heat in this town. That's Chris Middleton, but Kendrick Perkins believes that the pairing doesn't get nearly as much respect as it should.
What it do is it speaks volumes on Chris Middleton and the Milwaukee Bucks, because when Giannis is out, his game elevates to another level, and it just shows you, it shows the world that, hey, they got a legit Batman over there. Like, mm-hmm. It's not no fluke. Like, when you start talking about best duos in the league, you got to start mentioning Giannis and Chris Middleton, because when Giannis is out, Chris Middleton's numbers go through the roof, and they're 5-0, and he leads the way.
Kendrick Perkins saying, when you start talking about the best duos in the NBA, you need to start bringing up Giannis and Middleton. 414-799-1250. Where do Chris Middleton and Giannis rank in the best duos in the NBA? Let's go over right here first to Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, resident NBA guy. He's done the Pick and Save Probes postgame show, did it for 13 years. Now taking over was myself, and Tim Allen will be on the air tonight after the game, Bucks and Pacers here on the Fan. Stevie, when you hear Kendrick Perkins, a guy with an NBA championship, say that about the duo that we see, Middleton and Giannis, where do you think they rank in the NBA?
Well, so I called up a list because I wanted to see, get an idea of what a lot of other people think, right? So LeBron James and Anthony Davis is one, according to this poll I'm looking at. Mm-hmm. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are two.
Sure.
Now, three, we don't know, but the assumption is Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving will be here next year. But right now, Durant's not playing.
Yeah.
Another duo that's been hurt, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. James Harden and Russell Westbrook, Lillard and McCollum, Embiid and Simmons. I would say going through this entire list, I would probably put them somewhere around Harden and Westbrook. Probably five or six, mm-hmm. somewhere in that area. I'd probably put them in front of Lillard and McCollum. Probably like six, or with Harden and Westbrook at five, somewhere in that area.
Gary, when you look at these guys that we see every single night, Chris Middleton,
they have them as, by the way, on this list, they have them at eight.
Okay.
On this list, Giannis and Middleton, and they have them behind Harden, like I said, and Westbrook, Lillard and McCollum. Their seventh duo is Embiid and Simmons, and then Giannis and Middleton.
And that duo put up a huge night last night against one of those that's on there in the LA Clippers. Gary, when you see this last night, we've had how many different conversations, how many people bash Chris Middleton saying he's not a legit number two, he's not the number two that you can win a title with, he's playing better than he ever has in a season after getting paid the monstrous contract. Where do you think they slot in the NBA right now today as one of the best duos in the league?
Fluid situation, Billy, but today they're number one. Today. Best record in the NBA.
True.
You look at the numbers, you know, the numbers are really staggering for the both of these guys. One guy is out. The other guy picks up the slack, which is Middleton. They just did a special on Chris Middleton today on SportsCenter. I know a lot of people don't probably watch it like I do, but I have never seen them do a special on Chris Middleton.
I agree.
Okay,
it was just
Chris Middleton, nobody else. Today they're number one. I mean, and Steve loves to do numbers, and I think to me the numbers are how many wins you got, what place, you know, where you're at in the NBA.
Sure,
a lot of those guys that Steve though have mentioned though, I think, you know, if you look at Harding and
Westbrook,
they're pretty good, obviously, but they're scoring. But what are they going to win a championship?
No.
I mean, I think at the end of the day, that's what it comes about. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they're a nice team. They're a nice duo, but they're not going to win a championship. Doesn't feel like to me. I think right now, this is the best duo in the NBA, and we need to stop. We need to just go ahead and give these guys credit where credit is due. The part of it is, because let me just say this. Perk yesterday said, I wouldn't be surprised if Toronto beats the Bucks.
Yes.
In the Eastern Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
In LeBron James prime, you would never say that about a LeBron James-led team.
Sure, there weren't many people that you expected was beating them.
Never said that. And so whether you like it or not, he is, Giannis, to me, and that's why I followed up the question, well, then is that an indictment on Giannis? He goes, well, no, it isn't. Yes, it is. Because what you're saying is Giannis can't overcome or lead his team. There is some doubt out there about Giannis' ability to lead this team to an NBA championship. Or in this case, to get to an NBA final,
mm-hmm.
to get in the game.
Right, get into that tier.
Right? And Chris Middleton also takes, I think, a backseat to a lot of these people that they don't see him as. I think if you would go around poll everybody, they most people would think that Klay Thompson is better than Middleton.
Sure.
Agreed. Most people in this town specifically.
Yeah.
In this town, you think?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh,
mm-hmm. Come on, Steve.
Every day of the week.
No way.
Yeah, sarcastic Gary over there. Yes,
but,
yeah.
No, I'm saying maybe last year or 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
No. But not today.
Guaranteed.
There's nobody in this town today right now,
Gary,
is saying that.
Not
today.
We go through that list of second players.
Today.
Today, right. Well, I mean, Thompson's, Clay's been hurt.
But. Well, I know, but still, they still give him the benefit of the doubt for what he did.
You go through these second players. I bet you a majority of people listening on the second players of these duos would take McCollum over Middleton, would probably take Westbrook over Middleton, would take Clay over Middleton, would take maybe Kyrie over Middleton.
Let's
Paul
get this,
George over
let's
Middleton
get this Westbrook
and
thing.
Anthony Davis over Middleton.
Westbrook can't play with Giannis.
Agreed. I'm just saying talent-wise,
I know.
One-on-one.
Talent-wise,
yes.
Yeah, but you ain't winning them with Westbrook.
Correct.
I'm just going to be
frank. You're probably not winning
with,
anything with James Harden either.
Yeah.
You're
not. Now, they may have the best duo, but you're not winning them with – because one of these guys have – well, in that case, one of those guys have to be willing to sacrifice their game for Giannis.
True.
I don't think neither one of those guys are going to do that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Klay Thompson, okay, I can see it, Steve. I can get down with it because he is Middleton-like.
And
right?
Klay's one of the best shooters I've ever seen.
Right, right. But I think Middleton gets slighted on some of the other stuff that he can do. I mean, he is a really good defensive player,
mm-hmm.
and not a lot of people talk about it.
He's a really efficient scorer.
He's
a knowledgeable team defender, and that
he's just
also
not flashy.
No, that's the toughest part.
You know, another thing I saw today on the special when he said this, I go, "Oh man, why did he not say that?" Did you see what he asked him what his pet peeve was?
Yes, I did see what he said. What his pet peeve was?
Did you tape that?
No, I was at home. I didn't get to tape it, but it was
Steve.
It was one that we've heard before from a famous player that not a whole lot of
Steve,
people love in this town.
Then this ain't gonna go down well. You know what he said his pet peeve?
What?
He don't like to practice.
What's your number one thing you don't like to do? Practice.
No, we've heard that before. I don't like to go to practice.
Yeah, we've heard that before.
I was like, dog, you could have said something else other than that. That's all. That's a fuel to the fire for
yes,
all these people that don't like
is.
You, who think now you got all this money and you don't work hard. Like, come on, cuz, don't be that frank.
Yeah, don't go pull.
We're talking about practice, man.
Yeah.
No, you don't have to do that. No, we get it. That's not nobody loves practice, but you can find anything else to say. There's a lot of people that say that he's lax, that he's slow, he's methodical, but sometimes it works, especially when you're able to play off of somebody else. And I think that's the toughest part about it, Gary. He might be the perfect fit to play with Giannis, where everybody else in the league of the guys that Steve's naming right here,
100%.
They
wouldn't fit with him.
The right culture and the right style of play to be able to go alongside Chris Middleton. Because also a lot of those guys, they're not going to match up physically with Chris Middleton. Dude's 6'8",
right,
and he can body up a lot of different positions. Where do Chris Middleton and Giannis rank with best duos in the NBA? 414-799-1250. Gary said, you got to look at the facts. The wins are the wins.
Wins are the wins.
So they're number one. Yeah. Steve says right around top five. They have them listed as top eight on the list that we found right here. But Kendrick Perkins believes they should be closer to number one. Kendrick, you just mentioned it. You played it.
That's wrong. Sorry.
As we go through here and try to figure out exactly where you believe the Milwaukee Bucks duo finds in, where do you slot Chris Middleton and Giannis Antetokounmpo as best duos in the NBA? 414-799-1250. One is the best player. One, yesterday, we had people say is a fringe all-star. I don't know exactly how that lines up after you've now been able to do it two back-to-back seasons and back-to-back years where you've kind of taken over and taken a huge brunt of the scoring load, Sparky, as Middleton has.
You know what's interesting is we talk about Middleton and how, well, if he wins a ring, then, you know, things will change. But if you look at these duos, secondary guys, Anthony Davis has no ring. Paul George, no. Kyrie, no. Oh, no, with Cleveland he does, yeah. So with LeBron he does, and so does Durant. So that's the one duo. Both guys have rings in Brooklyn if they ever get to play together. Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, both have rings. Harden and Westbrook, no. Damian Lillard to CJ McCollum, no. Embiid and Ben Simmons, no. So when you look at these guys that have actually accomplished something versus not, there's two sets of guys that have done something. The rest of these guys, both guys haven't won championships. In a lot of situations, both guys haven't won a championship. Maybe it's one or the other. But in this situation here, if Giannis and Middleton are able to win a ring this year, they'll be one of three duos in this league that can both, all three say, we all have championships.
And then you have to believe that they catapult themselves into that stratosphere. But there's one other part of the duos that don't, that Chris Middleton and Giannis might not be able to claim to fame as we ask who's the best duo. Or where do Chris Middleton and Giannis rank with the best duos in the NBA? Have that for you after the break and after Gary Ellerson tells us about Pella Windows and Doors.
Guys, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, they need to hire more installers. Need to hire more installers. That's because right now people are buying Pella Windows and Doors like, you know, it's just like
the wildfire.
Come on with it. Mm-hmm. They've got that new experience center in Brookfield off of Blue Mountain Road where you can go touch, see, and feel the doors, the windows and doors, guys, that you want to buy. Guys, if you haven't already heard, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin has extended last month's financing offers for the whole month of February. Your choice, 10-year, 2.99 APR or 18th month, 0 APR to approved credit. Guys, go check them out today. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, where you will be a happy man and it's going to save on your heating bill.
See, that's the part of it that's so big to me, Gary. Not only are you going to improve your home and also improve you can talk about this, the property value of your home, you're going to straight save yourself money. That goes right back into your bank account. You don't even have to worry about it. 414-799-1250. Free money. That's a great way to put it. Hey, if it's free.
18 month, 0 APR to approved credit. Come on, man. Let me have it.
And my favorite is the 10-year. 10 years?
2.99? Come on.
I could be living in Jamaica in 10 years. You don't even know what I could be doing in 10 years. 414-799-1250. Where do Chris Middleton and Giannis rank with the best duos in the NBA? Bucks fans, are you defending your guy, or are you going to fall in line with maybe some others? Kendrick Perkins believes that Milwaukee Bucks fans should understand where their guys rank.
And the Milwaukee Bucks, because when Giannis is out, his game elevates to another level, and it just shows you, it shows the world that, hey, they got a legit Batman over there. Like, it's not no fluke. Like, when you start talking about best duos in the league, you got to start mentioning Giannis and Chris Middleton, because when Giannis is out, Chris Middleton's numbers go through the roof, and they're 5-0, and he leads the way.
That's an NBA champion. Where do you fall in line on the best duos in the NBA? Where does yours rank, Bucks fans? Wendy's Big Show back after this on The Fan.
best duos in the league, you got to start mentioning Giannis and Chris Middleton, because when Giannis is out, Chris Middleton's numbers go through the roof, and they're 5-0, and he leads the way.
That's Kendrick Perkins yesterday on the Wendy's Big Show. This is 105.7 FM, the Fan, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app, asking you, where do Chris Middleton and Giannis rank with the best duos in the NBA? NBA champion, now our radio.com sports NBA insider, says they're somewhere in the top eight, where we have them on one list. Maybe if they win a title, they'll be top three, because they'll be the only group out of that duo where both sets have an NBA title. For this one, guys, I wonder how much of this narrative gets brought upon Middleton and Giannis that they're not in that stratosphere, because you brought up the Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Obviously, Kawhi, what he did in Toronto last year was legendary, and it's going to go down in the history books. But Paul George was that guy with a different group, right? So he was the lead dog and then went to go pair himself up with somebody. Russell Westbrook and James Harden. Russell Westbrook was the guy in Oklahoma City, took his team consistently to the playoffs, and then went to form a group somewhere else. Does some of that angst or some of that resentment that they never did it on their own then go into somebody else? Is that some way changing the complexion of where we see Chris Middleton as one of the best players in the league because he never did it by himself?
No, I just don't think he's all that good compared to the rest of these guys. I think that's kind of part of it. And you're right as far as if you look at the other duos on this list. I mean, Ben Simmons has really never done it by himself. CJ McCollum has never done it by himself. Looking at the second guys, Russell Westbrook tried. Klay Thompson has never had to do it by himself at any point. Kyrie Irving obviously did, but couldn't until LeBron got there, couldn't finish it off by himself. So Paul George, same type of deal there. And then Anthony Davis tried and couldn't do it either. So I don't know. I think him being the second guy is simply, and Gary says, well, you know, if you want to look at the numbers or do whatever you want, I just think what happens is a lot of people just do the eye test and just go, he's not as good as players A, B, C, D, E, F, and G that I watch on TV, on TNT. Yeah. He's just not as good as those players. And I think Middleton has gotten better this year than he was last year. I think he's definitely improved. And obviously it's all going to come down to the postseason. But really, at the end of the day, when we talk about Chris Middleton, it's going to be him having that moment. And 51 in the regular season is great, but he hasn't had that moment yet in a postseason. And once he gets that moment or a couple of moments in a postseason where he's big for this team and people are talking about him across the country, man, that dude stepped up and saved them in that game. Man, that dude stepped up and saved them in that game too. Get a couple of those moments, that will put him on the map, I think, nationally, and garner him even more respect.
And have those moments in a win, I think, is even double important. Because you think back to that Celtics series, and I go back to this a lot on the postgame show. That was 2 years ago against the Celtics in the round one exit where they went to seven games. He carried the Bucks in most of that series.
True.
He was the reason why that series went to seven games and really was the reason why they took it, I think, into three overtimes in the first game, had two buzzer beaters, two shots to knock down late where it kept them in that game, kept them in that spot. Under 30 minutes a night, guys averaging over 20 a game, and also doing it on both ends, defending, rebounding, assisting. These other guys just don't do that to that level, but I understand where you're not going to put him in the Anthony Davis stratosphere. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, no, I think he's behind. I think they're right around four or five, but they're definitely in the top five to me, and the question is, can that win you a championship?
Here's the thing. Hey, Pluck, did you put my response on Twitter already? Yeah, just put that out on Twitter. Just
throw it up there for us. Yeah,
throw it out. Here's the thing. If they win a championship with Middleton, there's no denying them.
No, then the conversation has to stop.
You can say what you want about Anthony Davis. You can say what you want about Westbrook and all these other jokers. But if they win a championship with Middleton, you have to give Middleton his just due. Now, right now, I get, Steve, you're right. And I am all about the eye test. The eye test is everything to me about more so, because when I look at Zion, it ain't. I look at him. I know he's good. I mean, I look at him. That's eye test.
Sure.
Middleton is sneaky good. He doesn't, in a small market, he doesn't get a whole lot of attention, and Milwaukee in itself is disrespected all over. Not just the city of Milwaukee as far as sports is concerned. I think maybe the Green Bay Packers to a certain degree is too. If you start looking at Pro Bowl ballots and look how these jokers getting Pro Bowls, the Packers only get like Aaron Rodgers and one other guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's very true.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
They don't get the Dallas Cowboys, them jokers, if they're good, they get like 6, 8, 9, 10 jokers in the Pro Bowl. The Packers, when they're good or even winning Super Bowl, they don't get very many Pro Bowlers. I mean, it's just always been that way. So I would say this, in Wisconsin, small market, doesn't get his just due. But I think it's time for the people here in the state, give this guy some love. He's doing what he's supposed to do. And if he brings a championship back to your team, I don't know what more you can say to him, say about him.
Is he kind of like Rip Hamilton?
That's a good one, Steve.
Right?
That is a good one.
Not super flashy or anything, but just does what he's supposed to do night in and night out for the most part.
That's a good one, Steve.
And Rip Hamilton relied on the mid-range very, very heavily.
Oh, that's what Rip was.
Yeah. Right.
Long, too, defensively.
Right.
Steve, look at you.
I get lucky once in a while.
Man.
Back Fan 1 tweets at the Fan. Obviously, Bucks fans are going to be biased. I'll take them over anyone today because they have been together the longest, and this is important, neither of them are selfish.
Well, the cohesiveness definitely helps.
What about the selfish aspect of it when you start talking about duos and where they rank? Because some would say Russell Westbrook and Harden both can be selfish basketball players to a certain degree, trying to get their own numbers. And if you look at shot selection, not shot selection, but shots taken, Giannis would be selfish when you compare his amount of shots taken per game versus everybody else on the team. In reality, I don't think he is selfish. I think he's unselfish in the largest of degrees. And I think James Harden would say, how can I average, you know, like 10 assists a game and be considered a selfish basketball player with as much as I pass it and set up other people?
Well, and that's why James Harden was definitely hurt. I was going to say something else, another adjective in there, when they made the joke about him on the All-Star Game selection committee, right, where it was, oh, you don't want the dribbler? You don't want the guy that's just going to pound the ball into the ground? No, he wants somebody that's going to be continually passing the ball and fit into the system. He's just a great system fit, and that cohesiveness has to fall in line and give some kind of garner some kind of credit for where this duo ranks. Let's go out to the north side. Rams up. Ram, where do these guys rank as duos in the NBA?
I'm on the road with Sparky on this one. Hey, what's going on, Gary?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, man?
And Gary.
Yeah.
You played ball in high school.
Yeah, I played.
You need to stop it.
I played a little bit.
I'm going to say this.
Say that.
When I come through playing high school and college ball, the word dominate was used when you talk about a solid player, dominate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you dominate a game.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole analytic thing is new.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because you can have numbers against a horrible team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you got to be real careful. I think you got to blend both of the two together.
Right.
And when I think dominant, I'm thinking like you carrying your team to a victory.
Mm-hmm.
Like I watched Westbrook the other night. Harden was off. Yeah. He took over. Right. Against the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen Middleton do that.
But can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Is Westbrook getting championships?
Well, yeah. we're not talking about championships.
Oh.
We're talking about being a dominant player. We're
well,
duos.
I'm talking about both.
You know, so
B-O-F-F.
I think like Kareem, LeBron Wade.
Yeah, I'm talking about both.
Scotty, Mike, and then those names that Sparky mentioned. Those guys, they were doing it in college.
I'm gonna give you an if come maybe.
Where did Middleton go to college? You know,
Texas A&M.
I'm gonna give you an if come maybe. Here's the if come maybe. If they win a championship.
If though, we talking about if.
Yeah. If they win a championship, you're going to have to come off this.
Okay.
Really? I mean, really, you can say what you want. If they win a championship, that means he had to have done something. You're going to have to come off this story here. And I know it's about eye tests, and I look at Westbrook. I see what Westbrook get because I want to win a championship. Westbrook ain't going to win no championship over in Houston with these guys. Okay. There's a reason why he can't play with nobody.
Okay, but check this out. You remember when last 2 years, the Warriors played the Houston.
Mm-hmm, the Houston.
Played as it went off.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Middleton do that.
Mm-hmm.
And Curry was off. Durant was beat up. Clay just took over. And I'm with Sparky on that. You know, I think the majority of people, when they look at it, they'll say, oh, no, Killer Clay, number 11.
Right,
guys.
Right.
Yeah, and that wouldn't be wrong. Steve
made a comparison of Rip Hamilton to Middleton. You buy that?
I can see that.
Yeah, okay.
That's a good one.
Thanks
Ram. Appreciate it, man. That is a really, really good comparison, Steve. That might be one of the best that I've
Steve,
seen
you,
here.
You hit a home run now, Steve.
And I always like Ram's point of view when you want to go into what were they when they were younger? What were they when they were in college? What were they when they were in high school? Chris Middleton was a top 100 recruit coming out of high school. He was projected to be a first-round pick until he gets hurt at Texas A&M, still decides to come out early into after his first year or into his third year there with the 2012 NBA draft, and just slid because of that those issues that he had in college, became that type of player into the NBA, and you just don't want that to slight somebody because of when they hit that development curve.
You know, and the other thing about this with Chris Middleton is because he wasn't somewhere else first, right? He wasn't Russell Westbrook running his own show.
Right.
He's not Anthony Davis having run his own show. He's never had the opportunity to run the show. Now, he may always have wanted the opportunity to be the guy on the team, and I would assume he probably does. But because he has been in this position with Giannis and Jabari and so forth, I think it's a little bit easier, I would think, and tell me if I'm wrong, Gary, where when you're in a situation where you've always kind of been that second fiddle guy, it's easier to find your way in that role because that's the only role you've ever been in.
Right.
You've never been in the role of running your own team and then having to come to another organization and suck up your pride and play second fiddle to somebody else when you know darn right well you were good enough to run your own team before.
Here's an example. How did it work for Kyrie?
Not well.
Well, you won a title. I mean, he got to be the guy in Cleveland. LeBron came in. He had to play second fiddle. They won a title.
You're talking about Boston, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, sure.
To be his own man.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
How did it work for Kyrie?
Not well.
Didn't work well for the team.
Right. Well, all of them. Kyrie either, because he didn't have what it takes to be that person. He thought, well, I'm going to leave Cleveland, and I want to go do one by myself. I'm the man. I want to go. It's more than just numbers, though. I mean, Kyrie did numbers, but it's more than numbers. How you can get along with your teammates, how your teammates can play for you, and how you can play with your teammates. Kyrie doesn't have it. Now, he's going to go with Durant. We'll see how all that shakes out and what they can do there. But that's easier said than done. To me, yeah, Middleton hadn't been on that stage like, I'll give you an example, like Kyrie to be his own guy. But a lot of guys can't do that. A lot of guys in the league, I mean, how did that work for Russell Westbrook? I mean, for a long time, he tried to be the guy.
And it still
and get his own stuff.
And it still comes back to me with Paul George, too. Paul George was the guy for a long time. Now, he couldn't get past the best player of a generation, LeBron James.
Sure.
A lot of guys couldn't.
Right.
But then he went and tried to find different places that he could be that puzzle piece, and it just never worked out.
Never worked.
Now, we'll see how it works in L.A.,
right.
But that's another topic for another day.
Come on, man.
Matt's on downtown. He's up on the fan. Matt, where do Middleton and Giannis rank best duos in the NBA?
So the way I look at this is I take a different approach. If we take Middleton off the team, which person do we sub in that we think is better? Now I'm going to go through a list of players that I say the Bucks would be worse off with if we swapped Middleton for them. We'd be worse with Anthony Davis. We'd be worse with Paul George. We'd be worse with Jason Tatum. We'd be worse with Kyrie Irving. We'd be worse with C.J. McCollum.
The only one I don't know if I can get down with is Paul George.
He's not what he used to be.
Sure.
He isn't. He never will be. I think Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving are two of the most overrated players in the NBA. They are not winners. And I don't think Davis ever wins a ring. But so if we look at it from that aspect, who do we replace Middleton with and the Bucks become a better team? So same with like Russell Westbrook, we're not going to be better off with him. So when you go through that, you honestly have to look at putting that duo as the top two in the league.
You say top two?
Top two, because you can't tell me that any of those players I named, the Bucks would be better as a team with them on the team and Middleton off the team.
All right, thanks
appreciate
for
it, Matt.
I get down with you on that one. No, Anthony Davis is good, man.
Really, really good.
And he's really good. And reason why Paul George would get down with you because he's a team player.
Mm-hmm. He's one of the best two-way guys I've seen.
Defensively, he's for real.
Yeah.
Okay. Anthony Davis, team player. Defensively, he's for real. I mean, could you imagine Giannis and Anthony Davis together?
How much
ground they could cover?
I imagined it a lot last year when that just trade rumor just got floated out into the air of Anthony Davis.
So, no, I disagree with that.
So, yeah, I imagine that
those
one quite
two guys
a bit. Those two guys would be ones that I definitely don't know if I can get down with.
Right.
In Pennsylvania, listening on the radio.com app, we find Carl. Carl, you're on the Wendy's Big Show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
One thing that I think that is missing in this Giannis and stardom superstar conversation is, he's been playing for, what, five, six, 7 years. How many times has he been able to win a game down 1 point with 10 seconds left. Has he ever closed out a game in that situation?
Who's that? You're talking about Middleton?
No, Giannis.
Giannis, okay.
So you, in order to be a superstar, I think you got to be able to take the team in the last few minutes or seconds of the game and close it out either, you know, on the line or however you're going to do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that he has crossed that threshold yet.
Well, they haven't really been in a lot of close games, per se, this year to
That's
put him
true.
In that situation. And the reason why so many people didn't think he could do it before was because he had no jumper. He had nothing. Mm-hmm. So everybody's just sagged back, and we're not going to allow you to beat us in the last 10 or 15 seconds of the game. Yeah, he's got a little bit of a turnaround jumper. He's worked on his post game a little bit. He's extended out to the three-point shot a little bit, three-point range. And I remember doing topics on the postgame show last couple of years of whose hands do you want the ball into the end of the game? A lot of people were saying Middleton for the longest time. Mm-hmm. It was, let him take that last shot. I trust him with the ball from 15 feet and out at the end of a game, more so than Giannis or anybody else on this roster. Now, maybe that's changed over the last year or so. But, again, I mean, if your guy, you know, I mean, create a scenario. Bucks down one, let's say, you know, with 12 seconds left, who's taking the shot, Billy?
Giannis.
That's you want.
I want the ball in his hands.
So inbounds, out, Giannis, ball, clock ticking. He's going ISO and going to see what can happen.
And I want that step back that he hit at MSG.
Well, not for me.
I don't think he'll ever hit that again.
For me, I'm with you. Giannis have the ball, and let's see him do whatever he does. Create, kick, whatever.
That's what a lot of people said a couple of years ago when we put that scenario out there, which is drive and kick to one of your shooters in the corner.
Yes.
Let's do that.
But he himself
isn't going to be Kobe or LeBron
and
is going to win the game. And that's what that caller was referring to. He hasn't shown that ability to be the closer by himself.
I would just love to see if he had that opportunity to see if he has the confidence and the wherewithal in that jump shot to do what LeBron just did in Golden State a couple of weeks ago.
I think he does now.
And take one down.
I think he does.
2 years ago, I don't think
he
did.
Sure, not even last year.
But I think he does now. I think he's filled with confidence right now that he can hit these shots. The one aspect that still scares me is, you know, you do your scenario where you inbound the ball to Giannis and go get you some, and they go, let's see if you beat us at the line, and they foul him.
Sure.
And then he's got to go there at 61% or whatever and try and hit foul shots. That's a scary proposition.
414-799-1250 is how you get in touch with the Wendy's Big Show. We'll bring this back at 5 o'clock here for Pick a Lane on the Wendy's Big Show. Ross Tucker stops by in about 10 minutes from right now. Our Radio.com Sports NFL Insider at 245. Brought to you by the new 5-Hour Energy Drinks, now featuring two new tropical flavors that you can enjoy there with 5-Hour Energy. But guys, right now, this is going to give you some more energy, but maybe in a different spot. It's Bofording's Winter Lager, the final 10 kegs of Bofording Winter Lager. That's all we got left, Gary, 10 kegs.
Man, final 10 kegs.
How long do you think it would have taken you and your boys back at Madison to finish the 10 kegs?
Oh, we can do that in one day, right?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, on the lake.
On the lake.
With a fire at night.
Yes.
With the jet skis during the day.
Come on, man.
You'd have plenty of time. Guys, where you can test out some of the winter lager, because everybody wants to test out everything, right? The only place you can test out one of the final 10 kegs of winter lager at Blue Mound Bowl, Dugout 54, or Donahue's Irish Pub. But you can test out the rest of the Bofering lineup, the Crisp Pilsner, the Smooth Triple, or the Perfectly Balanced Bruin.
Perfectly balanced, all designed
to give you the full flavor that does not fill you up. It's a family-owned brewery, and they've been doing it that way since 1764. That's over 250 years in the country of Luxembourg, with three all-natural ingredients: fresh barley, the finest hops, and the freshest spring water you're going to find. Go test it out today. Don't just take my word for it. Grab a six-pack of Total Wine and More in Brookfield or in Greenfield, Otto's, or any Festival Foods locations. It's also on tap at Cafe Hollander, the Nomad, Revere's in Delafield. Once again, it's gone for all of 2020, once these final 10 kegs are gone. Blue Mound Bowl, Dugout 54, or Donahue's Irish Pub. And drinking the boff while you are, let me know at Bill Schmidt Radio, and I'll come out and have a Bofording on you and enjoy Milwaukee's favorite smooth drinking import. What a difference a year can make. Or for one new coach in the Big Ten, maybe what a difference 2 days can make. We'll talk about that next on The Fan. Welcome back. It's the Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app. Our NFL insider from radio.com sports, Ross Tucker, stops by in about 10 minutes from right now. We'll talk pro football with him. Where maybe does he believe guy Tom Brady will end up? Is Gary Ellerson at a nightmare scenario for Packer fans? Or maybe if you're like me, you kind of liked it. Ross is always brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots, now in two great tropical flavors. That comes up at 2:48. Right now, Mel Tucker, a couple of days ago, guys, he had a very pointed conversation, was in the running. We had the conversation a couple of days ago as our guy Brett Bielema was reportedly interested in taking over for Mark D'Antonio. Decided to hang it up a week and a half ago. Said he was done coaching. Wanted to hand it off to someone new that was going to be able to dedicate themselves to the program that he loves so much. Well, they found their guy at Michigan State. It's Mel Tucker, former defensive coordinator for the Bears. He was a defensive coordinator all over the NFL, right? And then also was in Alabama, was at Georgia most recently. And then he was at University of Colorado where he got his chance to be a head coach.
More importantly, former Badger.
He is a former Badger.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was before you or after?
Way after, Billy. Thank you, though. I appreciate it.
Way after?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Well, you look younger than he does. I'll tell you that much.
I think there's also Todd Orlando, also, who's now defense coordinator at USC, was also on that team.
Yeah, you look way younger than this guy does, no doubt about it.
So, yeah, he's a former Badger. And there was some thought that, you know, that maybe he'd come to Wisconsin, but then they got
Jim Leonard
to be the defensive coordinator. Because he's got a track record.
Oh, for sure. He turned a lot of programs around, and big-time defensive coordinator down in the SEC, took over the Colorado team this past year to a 5-7 record. And just three days ago, tweeted this out: while I'm flattered to be in consideration for the head coaching job at Michigan State, I am committed to the CU Buffs football program for hashtag the build of our program. It's great athletes, coaches, and supporters. Unfinished business. Hashtag go Buffs. We are relentless. Relentless is the trademark that Mel Tucker likes. All these coaches have one. I happen to really, really enjoy that one as well. But Mel Tucker, now earlier today, reported first by Brett McMurphy of Stadium Sports that he will go and take the job as the new head football coach at Michigan State. Before we really freak out though about it, the money that he is making is going to be astronomical when you look at what he was going to do. They knew that they had to change the offer around. They just said, okay, well, you're making $2.7 million. Best way we do that, let's just double it, $5.4 for you. How does that work? Thanks. Okay, sounds good. And I get to go back home into the Big Ten where I played, where I'm familiar with. That's a very, very tough offer for me to turn down or be upset for anybody taking Mel Tucker going and taking the head job at Michigan State. But is it a bad look just because it was a one-year thing with the Colorado Buffaloes?
Yeah, probably. But that's not my concern. I'm not a big Mel Tucker fan. I mean, the job he did in Chicago was god-awful at that defense. But he went to Colorado. Bakhtiari, who we have on all the time, he has had a chance to meet and talk with him. He really liked Mel Tucker, thought he was going to turn Colorado around. Had a sub-500 year and is one and apparently only year there. The problem that you get into, like we always talk about, is you get out in front of this. Oh, I'm not going. Oh, I'm not going. Oh, I'm not going. How much? Sorry, guys. I got to go. And you're out because money talks. And everybody eventually does have a price, as Ted DiBiase used to say, right? So from that perspective, it's hard to blame the guy for taking $5.5 million a year and doubling his salary to go coach somewhere else. I just don't know. I'm thinking in my brain, like, how does this backfire on him? Because if sanctions come down on Michigan State or something happens where they lose scholarships and it becomes an Indiana situation like Tom Crean was there, he's free and clear, really, at that point, because nobody's going to hold him responsible for losing all those scholarships. There will be no standard set as far as how many games you're expected to win, because you'd be working with a lot less scholarships. Nobody's going to expect you to win at that same point. The only way this truly backfires on him is if he goes there and ends up playing sub-500 ball for 2 or 3 years and really lets that program slide after what was set up before him, which was they're a perennial bowl team. They challenge on the toughest side of the bracket with Ohio State and Michigan year in and year out. But if all of a sudden he falls back into being a 500 program in the Big Ten year in and year out, then, you know, that's going to be a bad look for him, but he's going to make over $5 million a year. There's got to be a reason why all these other guys said no to this program. There has to be. Don't you think they offered Fickell of Cincinnati probably similar type money as they offered Tucker, and he still said no?
Yeah, and
wouldn't you think that's what happened?
That's the thing. Luke Fickell was reportedly the number one choice and the guy that they went after right away. He decided that he was going to stay with the Bearcats in the American Athletic Conference. You got a guy in the Pac-12 where it's a tougher landscape to win. That's where I see this clearly as a step up from Mel Tucker, getting himself into the Big Ten out of the Pac-12, where you're going to have consistent respect to you win the Big Ten, and I've said this for a long time, you win the Big Ten with a 1 to possibly 2 loss, depending on what the landscape is, you're going to go to the college football playoff. If Michigan State is a 1-loss Big Ten champion, if they're an undefeated Big Ten champion, they're going to go to the college football playoff. I don't know if you can say that, Gary, about a Pac-12 team, then also make it the kind of money that you're going to make into the move. To me, it's a no-brainer, but even though it's a 5-7 record, you had the 1 year, there's never a good time to go. It's never a good time to break someone's heart.
Well, this is one of the reasons why Barry Alvarez did not allow Paul Chris to come back to Wisconsin the 1 year that he had at Pittsburgh. Now, they needed, because Paul Chris was offensive coordinator under Brett Bielema, but they needed for Paul to go get a head coaching job somewhere else,
because sure,
it wasn't going to happen there because they liked Brett a lot. And so he went to Pittsburgh, got the seasoning, and then next thing you know, Brett is gone, and now they're looking for a coach. They settle on Gary Anderson, and Paul wanted to come back right away, and Barry said no. I mean, you got to stay there. It's just a bad look for Ross, for our university, for you to go there 1 year and then leave, because you made all these promises to all these parents.
Mm-hmm. 30 recruits you locked in.
It just doesn't look right. And so that's why he ended up staying like 2 years. And then it opened up Gary. And obviously he was the obvious choice to come back to Wisconsin. Here's what I got to say about this. I don't fault anybody for going and making their money. But it is awful tough, though, when they throw that kind of money at you, okay, to leave. And to basically it's to set your family up for the rest of their life.
Yes.
The problem that I have is, this is why kids should be able to move when they want to.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I hate about NC2A.
Mm-hmm.
You make these kids stay, but these guys, everybody's making money but us be the athletes,
yep,
and they get to go and make more money, but we got to stay in a situation that maybe not benefit us or not right for us. And then if we do leave, we've got to have a reason why we leave, i.e., the kid with the Badgers,
Kobe King, or Justin Fields,
right?
Yeah.
Those types of things. So this is why that rule is stupid. This is why the rule should be changed. Mel Tucker, yes, bad look for Mel, and the reason why it's a bad look for Mel, because you promised all these kids, you promised all these families, these parents, and then on top of that, you came out and said you weren't leaving. Had he not said anything that he weren't leaving, I think softens the blow a little bit.
Sure.
But when you're a little bit indecisive and you put it out there on Twitter, then you go and take the money, because that's basically what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a better job.
But yes.
God knows, we don't know, Steve, the parameters, if they're going to be under some sort of investigation, or if they're going to be under some sort of suspensions. I mean, we don't know what's coming down. We think that's what's going to happen at Michigan State. That's why D'Antonio abruptly up and left. You've got to figure Michigan State has a lot of money, because they paid D'Antoni, what, $4-5 million? Just
$4.3 million
already.
20 days before he retires.
This just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go pay this guy
$5.4 million and $3.2 million just to buy him out of his contract.
Tells you how much money Michigan State really has.
The problem is, I mean, it sounds all fine and dandy the way you say it, Gary. Well, you know, I mean, it's a bad look. Okay,
it's
yeah,
a bad look.
So the kids and parents in Colorado, do you think the incoming recruits at Michigan State could care less about that?
Oh, no, they don't care. No, no.
So it doesn't affect him at this job at all?
No.
It really doesn't. It doesn't affect him here one way or the other. Now, Sports Talk Radio in Detroit, they might be all over him, because of what he pulled on Colorado to come here to Michigan State. And they may be like, oh, I don't know if I want this guy. He was only there a year and left. And dang, but as soon as he takes him to a pretty good bowl game, all of a sudden there'll be Mel Tucker fans again. So we all know how fans are. They'll change quickly. I don't think what he did to Colorado really affects him going forward.
No, I agree with you. It's not going to affect him. But it's just a bad look overall to people on the outside.
It's a tough look for college sports.
It's just, that's all it is. It just gives college sports a...
It does.
Should I say like a black eye, but it's not even a black eye because they got like 200 million black eyes. So it's just another dent into the system.
Guy just tweeted at us a picture of Mel Tucker as a Badger.
Yeah.
Yeah, doing stretching exercises, it looks like, or sitting out suntanning, one or the other.
I mean, good for Mel Tucker, and I think the best part about this is, and we got to get to Ross Tucker here in just a couple of seconds, his co-host on Home and Home was not happy, a Colorado alum. Nobody's going to be happy when this situation comes down against their alma mater. The good part about this is, and the fascinating aspect of it for me, is this finally the job that Eric Bieniemy ends up getting, and he's able to go back to his alma mater and have an opportunity to take over that program.
You don't want that program. Eric doesn't want that.
Colorado?
No.
No? Okay.
That would be a step backwards for him.
Oh, big time it would be. Going from a Super Bowl champion, going down to coach the alma mater. You know he's going to get the phone call, though.
Well, yeah, because they're going to come help us. But say,
there's not enough money in the world.
I mean, if he were to go, great for him. But if he has aspirations of being a head coach in the NFL, he's got to stay right where he is.
I agree. That's a huge step back.
He can't go to Colorado, try to rebuild that program, then it don't go right because they can't recruit. I mean, they're in a tough spot. I mean, you can remember when Colorado, you probably don't remember, when Colorado was really good. I mean, they were getting a lot of players out of California. They're not getting those players anymore like they used to.
They had the seventh best recruiting class in the Pac-12 this year, and that was one of the best recent recruiting classes they've had since 2011, since joining the conference. Mm-hmm. We got to get to Ross Tucker, our Radio.com Sports NFL insider. He's next in 2 minutes on The Fan. It's the Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM in the free radio.com app. See Sparky Fivers here, Gary Ellerson for Badger and Packer running back. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, and now joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline on radio.com Sports NFL Insider, Ross Tucker. He's brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots, now with two great tropical flavors. Catch Ross each and every weekday on Home and Home, starting at 7:30 local time on your radio.com app or radio.com/home. Ross, we were just talking about the Mel Tucker conversation. I heard you and Dave Briggs having the debate earlier on today. There's just never a good time for this type of a move, but is it really a bad look that's going to have a lasting impression, you think, on Mel?
Well, I think it depends probably on how well he does at Michigan State on some level. But, you know, here's what I would say. I feel like most people are really upset about his tweet. You know what I mean? Like, he's not the first guy to initially say he's not going to take a job and then eventually takes it. It doesn't seem to hurt Saban that bad. And Saban is the guy that verbally said, I'm not going to be the coach at Alabama. I think we can all understand what happened here is that Tucker was offered a job. He turned it down. He got offered double. He changed his mind. I mean, welcome to America, pal. Like, I don't, it doesn't bother me that much. And I don't think how, like people say, well, one and done. So if he was there another year and he had more recruits come in and told more families that he would be there, that's somehow better? That's not better. That's worse.
Do you think players should have an out if a coach leaves to take a job somewhere else?
Without question. I think it should be if the head coach or your position coach leaves, you should be able to transfer immediately without any punishment, without having to sit out a year. Because if the coaches are able to do that, and everybody talks about relationships and how important relationships are, and these guys end up going to colleges. I deal with them all the time. I got a recruiting business, Go Big Recruiting. And so often, the major factors why they go to a school are they love the position coach and they love the head coach, and that's who they wanted to play for. Well, if that changes, that's a material change. That is different. And as a result, they should absolutely, in my mind, be able to leave.
Yeah, and that's the only problem that I have with this roster, just how the NC2A, where coaches can move around, they go make, and listen, Mel's making a ton of money going to Michigan State. I don't begrudge him for making that money at all, but you look at the kind of money that the NC2A is making, then you've got these kids, you handcuff them, and you tell them that they can't go anywhere, and then you've got a guy up and leave. I mean, that's the problem. Other than anything else, I don't begrudge Mel for making money, but still, the kids, to me, are most important that are being left behind in all of this.
Well, yeah, and by the way, you know, that goes for Michigan State with D'Antonio.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right? I mean, like, how about the guys that had just signed with Michigan State? And then they don't even know who they're – I mean, you are in a bad place there, because Mel Tucker, no matter what he says publicly, those are not his guys.
Mm-hmm.
And right or wrong, no matter what level comes in, you're either one of their guys or you're not one of their guys. And none of these guys – now, I'm sure Colorado wanted some of these dudes, but none of them are really their guys. And that hurts. That hurts a lot.
Are you in to know what happened to D'Antonio? I mean, that happened kind of abruptly, didn't it?
Yeah, you know, I haven't really gotten a straight answer on that. You know, obviously he wanted to wait till he got the $4.3 million bonus. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't blame him for that either. Again, welcome to America. I think it's pretty poor that Michigan State had that retention bonus like that. You know, what do you expect a guy to do if that's how you have it structured on some level? But also, they should have started negotiating or talking with him before that bonus was due and said, hey, are you sure you want to be back? Is there a way we can do this so it's a better situation for everybody? Because personally, I'm not convinced he really wanted to resign or retire or whatever he's doing. I think the heat from all the Michigan State athletics scandals, including the lawsuit from his former assistant coach, he felt like, well, I better get out of here. I better get out of Dodge before this gets too hot.
And that's seemingly how it always ends up happening. Once the kitchen gets too hot, maybe I'll go sit in the living room. Ross Tucker joining us, our Radio.com Sports NFL insider, former offensive lineman here on the Wendy's Big Show. Ross, when you looked at the Packers' offensive line across the year, it's recency bias, so everybody's going to say that the 49ers' offensive line was clear-cut one of the best in pro football. One of the best in pro football also was the group that the Green Bay Packers had. How imperative do you believe it is for the Packers to keep that unit together, and that means signing Brian Bulaga long-term?
Yeah, I thought they were certainly a top 10 unit, probably a top 5 unit in the entire NFL. Now, they had their moments. We talked about it throughout the year against the Chargers, against the Niners, where, whew, I don't know what happened those nights, where they kind of got run over. But I do think that they were one of the better units. They ran it effectively. Rodgers was protected pretty well. And the biggest issue is I just don't really see who they would have to replace Bulaga. And once you start going down that road, that's a dangerous road at right tackle with some of the guys they have to go against in their division and otherwise. I really doubt Bulaga wants to leave. I think he's more valuable to the Packers than he would be elsewhere. There are a little bit of injury concerns there. I don't know what kind of deal he would get. So I do think it's important. I do think they should try to bring him back. But I would say on going to pay him.
See, that's the crazy part about this is because you have to make a decision not only on Bulaga, but you have to make a decision on Blake Martinez at inside linebacker. And everything that we read, it looks like Blake Martinez is probably going to get a bigger offer on the table for him than Brian Bulaga. And in a similar situation, they have nobody to replace Blake Martinez either.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe this is my bias, but I'd be more concerned about the right tackle than a linebacker any day of the week, especially a linebacker who, yeah, I thought he had a good year. I know Petten likes him, but I just think it's a lot easier to find off-the-ball linebackers than it is to find you know, above average starting right tackles. And if Martinez is really going to get that much money from somebody else, I say if I had to pick between those two, it's Bulaga.
All right, going off the grid here, I have a crazy, and I normally don't do these types of things, Ross, but I've got Tom Brady going to the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, you and Michael Irvin, Gary, I don't get it. I would be very, very surprised. I mean, personally, I think that news is out there because it's good for the business of the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
Number one, they believe any publicity is good publicity, and anytime your name is mentioned with Tom Brady, you're going to get a lot of publicity. So they like that. Everybody's talking about the Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? And number two, wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if Dak Prescott felt like, you know what? Maybe they would move on without me. Maybe they would sign somebody else. Maybe I should take this deal they're offering. So in my mind, the Cowboys benefit twofold from this information being out there. I highly doubt that's the case. Now, you never know, never say never, but I think that they either get a deal done or franchise tag Dak Prescott and then get a deal done by July 15th.
Where do you think Tom Brady ends up, Ross?
You know, our former teammate Christian Fourier seems to think he's gone. If that's the case, I'm sticking with the L.A. Chargers. It just makes too much sense. The whole L.A. thing, TB12, the weapons they have, and maybe they've made a commitment. They don't have the same type of dead money with Rivers' contract expiring that the Patriots would have when Brady leaves. You know, perhaps they made a commitment to him to upgrade the offensive line. I just think the whole thing's crazy because, you know, the Patriots supposedly won a deal by March 16th. Right? They want to know by March 16th.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that's fine from a money standpoint because we know that they talk at the combine and blah, blah, blah. But don't you think Brady wants to actually talk to Anthony Lynn? Like, has he ever talked to Anthony Lynn? Has he ever even heard of their offensive coordinator? To think that Brady is going to make a decision this big without having those conversations, I just don't see it. I think it's more likely that he does a Reggie White or a Peyton Manning and visits a couple different cities. And if that's the case, my guess is the Patriots won't wait around for him. And they'll say that they did. You know, they'll say that, oh, we couldn't wait. We told him we wanted him, but he didn't tell us.
Right.
And Brady will spin it the other way, and it'll become a big PR cluster.
Ross, appreciate it, man. We'll let you get going. We'll talk next week, all right?
See you, dudes.
Thanks, all man. Right, that's Ross Tucker joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, our radio.com sports NFL insider, brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots, now available in two great tropical flavors. Catch Ross each and every weekday on Home and Home starting at 7:30 local time. His show out on the radio.com app, or you can just search on the radio.com app, Home. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Oh. Has your passion outgrown your home? Mm. A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com. Simply local lending since 1935. And so you can go home this weekend. Mm. You better go to Locker's Florist because otherwise you're going to be sleeping in the shed.
As you should be. Valentine's Day is almost here when it comes.
Sometimes people forget. I mean, I don't know. You got to lock somebody up in the shed. But
If you listen to this show, we've been reminding you every day. So there's no reason. We were talking about this last week. Valentine's Day is almost here. When it comes to flowers for your special person in your life, make it Locker's Florist. That's an out-of-town online marketer where you don't know what eventually will get to your special person. Locker's is locally owned. Since 1911, they've been creating joy in people's hearts with beautiful floral arrangements. Visit LockersFlorist.com now and find the right Valentine's arrangement to light her eyes up from the modern love assortment. Their Love You Forever option with chocolate-covered strawberries and a plush teddy bear. Lucky in love, or let the Locker's floral experts customize an arrangement that says, I love you now
and always. Visit LockersFloors.com for details. Call them today. Only a couple days left here, folks. 276-7673. Trust me, she'll thank you. 276-7673 to ensure timely delivery or pickup, or you can have it delivered before Friday to her office. Imagine the envy of her coworkers who want to know where those beautiful dozen roses came from. Lockers Florists, of course. Call them today at 276-7673 or visit them at LockersFloors.com.
And also, too, guys like flowers, too. I mean, I don't know about how as much as women, but I mean, it'd be a nice little gift to have dropped off here at the studio, wouldn't it be?
Couple,
maybe a dozen roses from a man GE.
Mm-hmm.
That would look very, very nice.
Not
and
for
nice
you, though, because you're not going to be here.
Yeah, I won't be here, but I'll be sleeping out in the shed. 414-799-1250. Brewers and Cubs on opening day. Is that a good or a bad thing? Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.